Yeah, last week we opened up with Crippled System with you talking about, like, oh, I wouldn't wear a cheerleader's outfit or something like that.
That's how thing. Okay. Yeah,
that's how the whole episode started last week.
Nice.
What? Yeah. Was I not here?
You were here.
What? Who?
We were talking about the Crippled System t-shirts.
The
jerseys. About the football jerseys that have, like, the pink logo in
Andy,
the front.
Is that still in the trunk of your car, by the way?
It is in the trunk of my car. I think you might need to turn me down.
Do you?
One of our mics is spiking.
It's probably mine.
I don't know.
Somebody was. We're talking.
Okay, we're good now.
Looks relatively equal now.
Sure.
Yeah.
Did Orion, Eminent Configurator Orion.
Yep.
Did I give you one of those to build for me? Did you were gonna build somewhere that I have two? Because I know that Andy said he had one for me, but I also with the last. Excuse me, phone. I thought I turned the ringer off. I must have turned media volume off. With the last of my press ganger points, because I had exactly enough left over, I just got a spare one anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So in theory, either you still have that one, or
I do not have
I currently have zero. And I know that I gave the other one to somebody else because they're like, oh, I'll build it. I'm like, all right, you can have it. Because I didn't want to give it to you because you already had one that you built that you were going to give me. So I have two that are supposedly both built, and I don't know where either of them are.
One, mine that I was going to give to you, I think is still in the Who's the Boss stuff.
That makes more sense.
But I have no idea where the other one went.
And I don't remember who I...
All I know is I have like 50 million fucking Legion shit to assemble for Dave, and that's a bad idea.
I need to get a lock, too.
A lock?
Lock, yeah. I need a lock. And then apparently some upside down dick on a spider that's coming out in December.
Why isn't there a character Warcaster attachment for Crucible Guard called Load?
I don't get it.
You don't get it?
No, please explain in belaborious detail.
Because you could have the
Lucant and Load?
No.
It doesn't even make
Crucible
sense.
Crucible Guard. Crucible Guard.
Crucible Guard. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, what do I care about Crucible Guard? I don't even know what any of their casters are named.
A caster named Locke.
No, that's Convergence Caster.
Oh.
That's why I'm buying her.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lock and Load.
Sure, but I mean, what does a Crucible Guard attachment have to do with a Convergence Warcaster?
Oh, because it's also a Crucible Guard. You'll see that when you get the card, when you print out the card, it will, or look at the card in War Room.
No. Oh.
It's Crucible Guard.
Why would I do that?
To look at a war room?
Yeah.
I don't even know why. I mean, now you're just being difficult.
Now I'm being difficult.
Now, this is where the line is drawn.
Okay.
Andy discovered the thing.
Speaking of which, but looking at these boxes, which Iris is that? Is that supposed to be Iris 3?
Iris 2.
It's Iris 2?
It's Iris 2, the angel. Yeah, and she's not up here. She's in my car still.
You son of a bitch.
In fact, actually, the last two boxes
she's in my car too. Did a new 6-month cycle start? Did I miss out on another 6-month object?
The October one, I think, is the new 6-month.
So or if I cancel my monthly and switch to 6-monthly, I should get, the...
Well, if you switch now, you should be able to get the... what's her name?
Alexia.
Because I missed out on
the one to get.
Was it Walls that was the 6-month last time?
Maybe.
Yeah, the female Walls.
Yeah.
I don't have her. It was not a... I don't know.
Wait, but I have to have all of them or else I might as well kill myself.
Yeah, but Gorman de Wolf in sheep's clothing.
Doesn't matter. Completionism.
Nah.
Yeah, no, that's why I don't play Pokemans. It's because I would have to, I would just die.
Well, that's
There's
why
only 1,200 of them, though. Yeah.
That's why I need to stop playing fucking Dead Cells, because completionism.
Yeah,
I need all the fucking blueprints. And, they're difficult to get.
I have momentarily paused my Dead Cells playing in favor of hating Hollow Knight. That's what I've switched to.
I've heard that you've had great map experiences with Hollow Knight. How is the map done? So it doesn't draw it out itself? You have to make it?
You have to find an NPC who's in a specific spot in each region.
Okay.
And once you find him, he gives you a map of the area. And then you can buy an accessory that then allows you to, like, his map is like 30% of the area.
Okay.
And then in order for your map to update new areas as you find them, you have to buy an accessory that updates the map. But it won't even update. Once you have that accessory, it won't draw everything. It'll only update the map if you buy the map from him first in the area. So you can explore 100% of the area, but if you don't find him, it maps zero of it. And I was especially, when I posted that, I was angry because there's an area you enter where, just kind of visualize, you enter it and there's a room. Mm-hmm. And then you go left a room and you can go left or down. And if you go down, it like dead ends after two rooms to him. Okay. But if you go left, there's 50 rooms of exploration, including two bosses that are all never loop back to him.
Sure.
So I explored that whole fucking region for hours.
Looking for him.
What a stupid fucking place to put him. Like the other, and then the next region I go in and there's an impassable wall that he's behind. So you have to like get these special power-up from that region to be able to even get to him in that region. But without the fucking map, it's a pain in the ass to get. I would rather no map. Like the original NES Metroid, I would prefer over this bullshit mockery.
Do you have to kneel down in front of that giant wall for 2 minutes?
For the heck?
Waiting for a fucking tornado to come?
Yeah.
Fuck that Simon's Quest.
Hey, well, you know, you should have talked to the graveyard duck.
I don't even remember we had to talk.
That's one of the translation infamy things from that, because a townsperson says, like, head to the graveyard duck to survive.
Oh,
and sure. It's like, that's, number one is word salad. Like, yeah. Number two, there's no point where you have to duck to survive. And number three, people just parsed it as graveyard duck instead of heading to the graveyard and then the verb duck. And so there's just the infamous graveyard duck in Castlevania lore.
Oh, and welcome to episode 251. Yes. My name is Andy.
My name is Nathan.
And I'm Dan.
Woo.
Hooray, we did an intro. Speaking of the kneeling, so I have one of the... Yes. No. speaking of obtuse things you couldn't figure out in classic video games.
Okay.
I have the SNES Classic.
I don't have that yet. It's good. Should.
And the one I have is, you know, modified to have like 400 games on it, but jooshk. annoyingly enough, the Secret of Evermore that's on there, which I played a shitload of, it's one of my favorite games. I got like, you know, 20 hours into it playing it on SNES Classic, and I got to a point where it wouldn't trigger like a cutscene I needed to proceed.
Oh, no.
And I looked it up, and it turned out that whatever version they had put on there, it's the two-player edition where somebody can control the dog while somebody else controls the boy. And the two-player ROM hack is glitched where you can't get past that spot. And so all the advice I found online is like, yeah, just turn that aspect of the mod off. It's like, I'm not playing on PC, I can't. So I just shit the bed. It was very frustrating. But now I was playing through Earthbound, which is one of the games that's actually on there on the normal edition.
Yeah.
And there's a point where you go behind a waterfall to get to an evil lair, and someone says, say the password. And the password is, don't touch your controller for 4 minutes. Don't press any button at all. Just wait for that dialogue screen to go away after 4 minutes of silence. And so recently I saw an episode of The Angry Video Game Nerd, who I don't actively watch, but he popped up on my YouTube feed and said, here's the thing. I'm like, oh, he's talking about Earthbound. I'll watch it. And one of the things he bitched and moaned about was how stupid that was and how there's no place in the game that tells you to do that, similar to the kneeling at the wall.
Mm-hmm.
Except the villain that like is the lair of, the town before it, there's only like six NPCs. And one of those six NPCs says, hey, the password is don't touch your controller for 4 minutes.
No, really.
It's like, Jesus Christ, buddy, how bad are you at games that you're complaining about this?
I just glanced at what the chat just said.
Yeah, good job, non-Euclidean Nick.
Oh, that wins the chat for the day. Holy cow.
Why vampire whip man, no stand up.
Snarf?
Snarf! Why, you know?
Oh, Jesus.
Wily kitten, wily cat. Nyarf, nyarf.
So speaking of video games, Andy, why did you kill Telltale Games?
Yeah, what the hell? If you had played Tales from the Borderlands, they would have been able to stay afloat.
That's a good thing I bought it all, too.
You have to play it. Like, they specifically were like, until this number of people play it. Doesn't matter if they buy it.
I played it.
Yeah, like 10 minutes of it?
No, I played at least a good hour of it. I was already past the... I was definitely not... I don't think I was in Chapter 2, but I was definitely almost done with Chapter 1.
That is definitely not true. Because yesterday you didn't recognize Loaderbot. And no, he's not even halfway into chapter one.
Hold on. Loaderbot, the image that you got, that Brian posted was a picture of Loaderbot holding hands with something else I didn't recognize.
Okay, and it was the something else you didn't recognize.
I have no idea what that was. I thought that was Loaderbot. I thought it was maybe a different robot for something else.
No, that's more forgivable then. No, that was Loaderbot and spoiler. Well, because you beat chapter one, at the end of chapter one, they're like, we need to go find Gordas. And then that's Gordas.
No, because I was at the point, I'm going to have to start it all
you
over
should.
Again.
I'll probably start all over again. That's one of the best games ever.
But I got up to the point where they were in the arena.
The bandit
and,
arena.
And doing the car chase sequence. And then what's his name? Spoilered. In
Yeah.
Yeah.
When the main character's trying to like choke a guard to death, but he's so bad at it, the guard thinks it's one of his buddies playing a prank on him, I had to pause the game. I was laughing too hard. Yeah, Telltale Games is done, Arctic Circle. They are keeping a skeleton crew on long enough to say, and they haven't clarified what this means, because I've heard competing things. The most recent chapter of Walking Dead, they said they're keeping a skeleton crew on to finish it.
Well, so they're doing the chapter two, and that comes out soon.
Right. And are they editing chapter two to wrap it up so it's a two-parter, or are they going to have the skeleton crew finish all the way through five chapters like they normally do?
Chapter two is the last one.
You're certain of that?
Yep.
Okay.
I looked it up earlier today, okay. So unless it changed. And then the other thing is the Minecraft story mode thing for Netflix.
Huh?
Yeah, that's what I said.
Well, I knew there was a Minecraft Telltale game, but that was like 5 years ago, wasn't it? Like,
I think they were still doing story mode for that. Yeah,
but that's all that they're going to have left. Everything else, Wolf Among Us 2, the rest of the Walking Dead stuff, Stranger Things, that's all canceled.
Do they even come out with Stranger Things?
No,
or is that just announced?
It was just announced.
So that's fine that goes away. I mean, Game of Thrones was supposedly really good as well. I didn't play it either. The Batman stuff I hear was really good as well.
The Game of Thrones is interesting because a lot of people hate that one, but they hate it because you know what really sucks? Being someone in the Game of Thrones. Like, if you watch any episode of Game of Thrones or read any book, it's fine because you aren't those people. Like, there's nothing different about the game versus the TV show or the books except that you're the asshole whose life is terrible.
Yeah. Yeah. It sucks. I mean, I didn't really play much of Telltale, but I know it fit a genre that hadn't been touched upon in War Machine, or not War Machine, but...
I mean, you are not wrong.
It just hasn't been touched in a long time. I mean, they had a point-and-click style adventure games, you know, that's early 90s.
I say
you
it's know, mid-90s. Them and Until Dawn people.
That's good. Well, I mean, it depends how you count that genre, right? Like, words, no work thing. Nate tries say Phoenix Wright. Phoenix Wright Ace Attorneys. They're popular games. People play the shit out of them. There's several. The trilogy's coming out soon. There's other games that beyond even the main three. And those are point-and-click adventure games.
I would say, though, that those were not mainstream. Because those were more so... I mean, they weren't sure. Like Xbox games. They weren't PlayStation games. They weren't Microsoft or PlayStation or Sony. But those were more Game Boy Advance style, I believe. I believe they were more of the handheld.
They were on the handheld, yeah. Because they were for the Game Boy Advance.
Yeah.
Or the DS. They were for the DS.
Yeah.
The split-screen thing. But they were definitely successful. And they're definitely well-known enough to have memes and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
So it is a genre, but it's a niche genre, right? It's kind of like, you know, horror movies that aren't just the standard Blumhouse boo movie, The Nun, and that shit. Like, they exist, but they're very rarely blockbusters, but that doesn't mean that the genre is dead.
Correct. But I would say for a while there, the adventure-style games were pretty much dead. I mean, you'd have some little ones pop up here and there. I mean, like Until Dawn is kind of... But that I would almost say that was at the heyday of the current resurgence of
style games. Well, because it died with LucasArts after Grim Fandango. Like, Grim Fandango, which is a fucking masterpiece, did not perform well financially.
Yeah.
And then with LucasArts shuttering their doors, and they were the people for point-and-click adventure games. And so, yeah, it went into a lull for 20 years. But they're good. They're mm-hmm. good.
I think there's a little bit of studio reluctance on them, too, just because they're not technically challenging to make. You just need good writers.
Yeah. Well, and it is, because it's niche, it's not okay for a game to be profitable. A game has to crush financially for a studio to care anymore. Yep. Like, well, so I don't remember if I talked about this on air or not, but there is a YouTube series that I watched several episodes of, Death of a Game, where this guy, it was mostly MMOs. In fact, it's entirely MMOs because those are one of, well, maybe not entirely, but it's games that require an online server to play.
Sure.
And he talks about these games that are now dead because their servers have been shut down and so things like that. And one of the ones they talked about was City of Heroes, which is a fucking amazing game. I loved City of Heroes. I played it more than Andy plays WoW. I was addicted to City of Heroes. Yes, I was.
He said played, not logged into.
I played the shit out of Siri, but whatever. The point is, at the very least, it was my WoW.
Yes.
The reason it was killed was it was profitable. It was still profitable. It paid for itself and more. It was unarguably making money for the studio, but they're like, yeah, but not roll in a bed with hookers money and killed it.
Correct.
It's like, it's making you money. Like, isn't that enough? Like, if it's bringing in a dollar... You got a dollar, like.
But the shareholders,
have a thing that is profitable. It's in the black.
Does NCSoft even make anything anymore?
Yeah, yeah.
Is it?
Or whoever did City of Heroes still makes stuff. They especially we might not care because what is they're a Korean company and they make stuff mainly for Korea.
Okay, okay.
And so they that's the thing is also, City of Heroes was a Western thing. Then they tried to bring it into their home territory, and they're like, hey, Korea, look at this game. And Korea's like, don't care.
Starcraft?
And so it kind of failed in Korea. And so then they're like, fuck it. And then that was part of it, too.
So they had domestic pressure as well.
But who the shit cares if it doesn't? Like, if Hollywood makes a movie that bombs here but makes $10 billion in China, they keep making the Warcraft movie because it keeps doing that.
Warcraft is not that bad of a film, though.
Well, also, I mean, how long ago was City of Heroes shut
I mean,
down?
It is coming from...
Cryptic Studios, that's who, yeah. But yeah, I mean, that's it's about the fucking dollar. And Hollywood knows about the overseas market. Couldn't they have done the same thing in reverse? Say, yeah, our people here in Korea don't play it, but holy fuck, those round eyes eat it up.
Well, like I said, when did City of Heroes get shut down?
I'm not sure the exact year.
I want to say probably 2012. That'd be my guess. Because they were coming out with the big City of Villains then too. And that was like very, very close to when they actually shut it all down.
Thank you, Travis.
It was
pretty cool.
It was 2012. Yeah. Yep. It actually City of Villains came out a few years before that. That's City of Villains is probably about when you stopped caring.
To be honest with you, that was around the time. I mean, I just.
Because then they had an aspect where you could actually like change from hero to villain, and they had like a third party thing. Like your character could be a rogue, where they kind of dabbled in both. It was really neat. And then that's when they got killed.
Predictions on Captain Marvel. When is Rogue going to make an appearance in that film?
I don't get it.
That's how Rogue got all of her powers.
Oh, that's
she
mean.
killed Captain Marvel.
Well, that one.
Yeah.
Didn't she kill the one who says Shazam and then gets hit by lightning?
No, because that's a different Captain Marvel. Yeah,
what? I don't get it. Did she kill the Muslim one? That's racist.
No.
See, that's actually a really good series, the new one.
I hear that it's very solid. I haven't actually bought like a new comic book in a very long time.
Did you see? I don't know if you're a Captain Marvel / comics fan in general, Dan. Which
I
is
know next to nothing about her.
Well, then this will be directed directly towards Andy. Mm-hmm. Did you see? It's very dark and it's in the corner, but somebody used Photoshop to lighten it up. But Chewie is on the Captain Marvel poster.
Chewbacca?
No, her cat Chewie.
Oh,
Carol Danvers has a cat named Chewie after Chewbacca, and it turns out that cat is actually an alien monster who probably will destroy the universe because of something that happens in the plot lines.
Now I'm just picturing a cat holding the Infinity Gauntlet.
It's actually a shape-shifting race
that is asexually reproduces, and she finds this out when Rocket Raccoon tries to kill it before it can lay eggs because it's the last one in the universe, and she protects it to the point where it lays its eggs someplace that nobody knows where those eggs are, and so those will hatch and spread, and we're all fucking doomed. But it was her cat, and she loves it.
That sounds nice, but I like my headcanon better.
I mean, it eventually could do both, right? Couldn't an army of infinite shape-shifting asexually reproducing monsters being led by a cat with an infinity gauntlet happen?
Okay, I'm in.
All right. Maybe that's actually what they're setting up for Captain Marvel 2.
Mm-hmm. Jim is asking about the chat itself. Wasn't the problem with Warcraft the movie is that it was catered to Warcraft the game fans? I would say that's not the case. Because if they catered to the Warcraft game fans, they would have probably made a better movie. That and the other issue is special effects, I think, were troublesome. Have either of you seen the movie?
I have not.
No, I don't. No.
It's not that bad of a film. The issue is they touched on a time that's kind of meh in Warcraft when they should have touched on, like, during the actual Warcraft games.
There are better stories with a defined beginning and end.
Yep. Like the entire Warcraft 3, they could have gone through and just told us the whole story of Arthas. And that would have been catering to the Warcraft fans, and that would have probably made a much better film rather than telling us about when the orcs first showed up on Azeroth.
Hey, look, everyone walked around confused for 2 hours.
Exactly. The special effects for all the orcs in the film is fucking amazing. It's done really well. The major issue I have with the film is that, like in the video game, humans look like the same size as the orcs. Mm-hmm. Throughout the entire film, they just use regular humans and place them next to really awesome looking CGI orcs, and it just doesn't look right. It's like, how is this human footman even remotely going to hold back, you know, any of the orcs? It just doesn't look right. I think that would have been an issue. And yeah, Travis agrees, Illidan versus the Lich King. Yeah, even just the story of Illidan, how he came about, too, would be amazing.
Illidan v. Lich King?
Aridin?
Illidan, not Aridin.
Aridin?
No. I don't know who you're trying
to talk to. Aridin's the leader of the Wild Hunt.
I don't know who that is.
It's Aridin. He's like he's like a king, and he's Frost.
No.
Yeah, leader of the Wild Hunt. They're after Ciri. The Wild Hunt.
No, I don't know who they are. What color is Ciri?
I recommend downloading the mod that makes Ciri a black person. Because fuck racist idiots.
Oh, yeah, we touched on that at the end of the last podcast. So
we'll touch on it again.
fuck the internet. It's so annoying when you have the show's creator involved and they're okaying everything that the showrunner is doing, it's not our story. It's their story that they're telling. It's not like we jump into people's books or people when they're writing their fucking book to tell them, no, that's not how it happens. No, they tell a story and then we have to watch it. Unless and then it's not ours after we watch it.
Unless it's Brian and George R. R. Martin.
Brian
needs to send the fucking Blu-ray.
Brian, that was just more so saying,
like I said, he
fucking
needs to
write a book now.
Like or I said, else. He needs to send or the else. Blu-ray.
Yeah.
Also, even if the author's not on board, I have talked previously about how I'm a big proponent of death of the author, and I don't care what color someone is in the original book. It doesn't matter. Like, unless there's a plot point in that story where something happens because of somebody's race or gender or religion or et cetera, it's all free game. Who the fuck cares?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, you make Roland the Gunslinger black? Okay. Like, I don't. And the thing is, that's even an example where it was important to the plot that he was white. Because I don't know, did you read the Dark Tower books? Because one of the characters. One of the characters introduced in the second book is a black woman from our dimension, and she and Roland clash a lot because she's a black woman from our dimension, so she doesn't particularly like white men waving guns around and whatnot. And so you could argue that it was important that he was white because of that, but A, the movie didn't have her character, and B, if you're a clever writer, you can still make those character traits. Like, my example was, how interesting would it be for a black person from our world, where being black is a huge, huge deal. Like, you are disadvantaged, there's racist, there's all this shit. And in his dimension, nobody gives two fucks, so he's never had to deal with this. Yeah. So he'd be like the ultimate Uncle Tom, right? He'd be like, well, whatever, it doesn't matter to me that I'm black. And that would be a really interesting thing to do. So you can change these things and make it matter. Also, the hypocrisy of it's okay to take an Asian character and have Scarlett Johansson play it, but it's not okay to have a white player and have Idris Elba play it. Because racists got a racist.
Was the character in Ghost in the Shell, was it a, I thought that was supposed to be a Western character. From Ghost in the Shell.
She was not.
No?
No, she's not in the original anime. I'm talking about other characters, not just Ghost in the Shell. I guess I could have went with...
There's the one with the plane one.
Who is it in Aloha? What actress is that? That was Olivia Cooke, though, was it? Somebody who played like a half Asian, half... Yeah. It's like, come on.
That's the one where I really think of that. Also in Doctor Strange as well, too.
Doctor Strange,
but even then, it doesn't matter. I mean, if the wise one could be portraying itself,
well,
however,
the wise man one was changed specifically for the Chinese film market.
You're right.
Correct. Yeah. Correct.
Welcome to episode 250. Previously on Crippled System.
So I was just cut and paste what I put for last episode. We have a ton of Zappity Grumbles, too. But do we have any announcements?
There's an event going on right now. It's probably over by now, because my guess is that three people showed up.
Yeah, because it was planned a week ago.
Yeah.
I mean, it was originally scheduled for last week.
It was?
Yep.
Emma Stone. Emma Stone was the Chinese/Hawaiian character.
Yeah.
Yeah. Emma Stone, who's whiter than these walls. I mean, love her to death. She's a great actress and probably a good person. But holy shit, I'm sure you could find someone who is, you know, at least partially Chinese and or Hawaiian.
Yeah. And also the Ghost in the Shell thing, too, is the creators of the anime were completely behind the casting for that film as well.
So. Yeah. But were they behind the movie being terrible?
Probably not.
We need a white woman and we need the movie to suck. These are the two important things.
So they're using the U-Bowl strategy?
Yes.
We need a tax write-off.
And we need a random fish getting onto that Holocaust train.
Fuck, I need to watch that again. My mind can't put it together. I know that there's something like that happens, but my mind can't visualize it anymore.
Just a whole bunch of Jews getting on a train, and then in the middle of the line of people, there's just someone in a fish costume.
My mind don't work that way.
But Uwe Boll's mind does.
Yeah.
Oh, when you get punched in the head enough, many things make sense.
Yeah.
That's an interesting Zappity, too. We'll
you're an interesting Zappity. I Googled my recommendation, so now
War
it's
Machine
there, so
Weekend posted up all their events. You should go check out their Facebook page.
I'm going to play in none of them.
Are you going to War Machine Weekend?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, good.
But if you go and just hang out, you don't have to play in any events, also I think technically means you don't have to pay.
You should give some money to Carl.
I'll give some money to Carl.
Yeah,
that's War Machine Weekend, just to Carl.
eagle buddy.
To make it rain on Carl, you should do that.
Yeah, but somebody... for some reason it made wet noises. I'm not sure why that was my sound effect.
Well, that was maybe just the motion.
Just print out your entire ticket and get your entire ticket price in ones. Yeah. Like, Carl, I'm going to pay now.
Get it in pennies and just start whipping them at him from across the hall.
Oh, you don't do that. I did.
No.
I did that once.
Soft pennies.
I was very drunk at a bachelor party, and as we were leaving, I threw change onto the stage.
What?
Like a whole handful of change right on the stage, right as I left.
That has to be the most demeaning thing.
I was a little drunk.
And it was at a Chuck E. Cheese. Yeah. You were just throwing money at these robots.
Oh, the kids would love it, though. Yeah. No, but it was... Yeah.
We didn't say what kind of stage or where he was. I'm assuming it was a Chuck E. Cheese.
There's no
at a bachelor party? Who goes to a bachelor party at Chuck E. Cheese?
Dude, come on, man. That animatronic bear is hot.
You need to have kids in order to go to Chuck E. Cheese, I think.
Andy, wave off. Wave off. Wave off.
Entertainment is his middle name. I don't know if you knew that's what the E stands for. Charles Entertainment Cheese.
Someone, for the love of God, change topic before I say sign I don't want recorded.
You just... Okay.
Why do you...
I mean, we're talking about a children's pizza parlor. If you can't say safe things there, there's something horribly wrong with you.
Yeah.
Chuck E. Cheese is evil.
But is Showbiz Pizza evil?
That one just has a rat, isn't it?
They're both rats.
They're both the same. Aren't they the same?
They, yeah, Showbiz Pizza bought out Chuck E. Cheese, like... 30 years ago.
Okay. I'm fighting about this now?
It's all been a lie.
Maybe it's the
other one. I don't think I've Chuck actually been to a Chuck E. Cheese or Showbiz Pizza. I don't think I've ever been to one.
There's one like...
Yeah, no, I've never been. And never.
Not even as a kid?
Not as a kid.
Oh, man, I remember as a kid going there. It was great because the animatronic bears and shit would perform, and there was a little gopher that would pop out of a log in the front of the stage, and it was close enough that the kids could reach him. So there would always be like six or seven little kids standing there, and when he'd pop his head up, they would all just beat the fuck out of the gopher. And it would just like limp back down into the rock. And then they just wait and wait. It would poke up and just wah, 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 just a bunch of kids wailing.
Like the part of the log that's on his head. It's just you just hear the grinding of the gears because it doesn't fit properly.
Like, you know how like bronze statues, like the balls will be shiny on the bowl or whatever because tourists can't resist rubbing it and everything else will go green but it'll still be shiny. Or like on the nose. That's how it was with that fucking gopher. It was the one spot the kids could reach and it showed probably all the wear and tear. Left. Oh, it had no anything left.
Just like small little tufts here and there.
Just come out, plead for death, and then limp and grind back into the hole.
It's like the end of Terminator.
Yeah, just thumbs up.
Thumbs up down into the lava. Yeah.
I know now why you cry.
My parents never really believed in...
entertainment or pizza?
You still need to have a kid to go to Chuck E. Cheese.
No, fuck it. You can just get pizza and beer and watch a rat sing.
No, they don't let you in without kids anymore. At least the Madison one of them.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I've heard.
They do that to keep the high schoolers out.
Man. Blame.
We could try. We could film ourselves trying to go to one of these places.
Oh, jeez.
Or I can just get my son.
We can just grab a kid. Yeah.
Oh, that's no...
No, kid, just like a random kid. Like, yeah. We can go now. I'm sure... Like,
we can find
I can see a kid from here. We'll grab that kid and go to Chuck E. Cheese. Where do you see a kid? In that house over there.
That's the old folks' home.
There's... Okay, well then, is that like a doll? What's that pink little thing on the couch now that the lady moved out of the way?
That's probably a doll.
Okay, then bring the doll!
We can't weaken our Bernies our way into a Chuck E. Cheese.
That's because... Not with that kind of attitude, you can't. Just put in a stroller, say she's sleeping. We're in. Yeah, we'll dress you up like a toddler, Andy. We'll say you have a pituitary issue. You're like Robin Williams in that movie.
And Jack?
Sure, that one too.
Is that Jack?
Yes.
Jack is the one where he's growing older.
Yeah.
Or younger, or old, super old right away.
Jack is the one where he, yes, yeah. Yes.
Yeah. That's a weird movie.
Yeah, yeah, I can tell you, people with that syndrome sure don't, you know, have that good of a time of it. No, they stay that size and just shrivel up.
I've watched enough of the Learning Channel to see those things.
Oh, man. And worst of all, those people probably wouldn't be allowed into Chuck E. Cheese.
They get carted for beer all the time, too. I actually
Well, they're like five. They should be carted for beer.
That's true, too.
Is there any other events? The stuff?
I mean, there's something that we might care about happening in January.
There's October 6th. October 6th, there's a War Machine event that was planned like a week ago as well.
What? Where? Who? What?
There's a War Machine event October 6th in Pegasus.
Do you know what it is?
Yeah. Standard steamroller.
I think it's standard steamroller.
75 point.
Which,
do a standard steamroller.
Which is amazing. Actually, I'm running it. I forgot.
You forgot you were running an event?
No, I didn't forget I was running an event. I just Rick had mentioned that he was running an event, and I said I'll run it for you so you can play.
Aww.
So, and I know Rick wants to play, and he's doing a lot of planning for Game Hole Con. So, why not?
Mm-hmm. Game Hole Con with the War Machine weekend this year. What's the
War there? Machine weekend? Then Game Hole Con is the weekend after.
Yay! And, different weekends.
Is it Riverfront Rumble? Something in Minnesota is the
River
weekend
after. City Ransom.
There we go. Whatever.
Yeah, there's River City Ransom. There's a gang that's been taking over all of. Yeah. All of River City.
And if you punch them, they say barf, and then money falls out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's our yearly trip is to drive to River City, punch people, make them barf.
And then play money. Super dodgeball with them.
Oh. Why the fuck has that game not been remade?
Yeah, I don't know.
Because Super Dodgeball is amazing.
Because it was flawless as is. It should have been on the NES Classic.
Can you imagine playing that without any flicker going on?
No.
Because that was the worst part, is when the enemy would grab the ball and they would do a super shot, everything's just flickering, you can't see what the fuck just got, and then...
I just assumed that was part of that person's superpower, was that the ball turned invisible.
Nope, it was just... Couldn't handle the textures.
Yeah, that works too.
Or the... is it textures? No, it's not textures. It's
frame rate? Frames. I don't know.
Yeah,
the things and the stuff.
Yeah,
and the hey,
and the pierogi disease.
Hey, the chicken from Moana.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I like that movie a lot.
Well, I don't know. Hey, being voiced by Alan Tudyk instead of by Frank Welker. What the fuck, Disney?
What? What? What do you mean? Why was it supposed to be by Frank Welker?
Frank Welker did every animal in Disney for like 40 years. Think of any animal from a Pooh the monkey to whatever the hell else. It was always Frank Welker.
Mm-hmm.
And then, oh yeah, fuck you, Frank. We're going to have Alan Tudyk.
That's fine.
What?
That's fine.
That would be like if a Pixar movie didn't have Ratzenberg. John Ratzenberg.
Yeah, that's fine too.
I'm looking at you for the rest of the podcast. How dare he?
I mean,
how dare you, sir?
How come Pixar has never included George Wendt as well to be in there with Ratzenberg? Because that would have been amazing.
After what Wendt did,
what did Wendt do?
Oh, did you not hear?
What did Wendt do?
Oh, wow. Okay.
What would Wendt do?
I don't know.
He's trying to start up rumors about George Wendt.
Yeah, that's how you do it. You do it real subtle, like.
Yeah.
You pick someone like George Wendt, where people are like, is he? I don't.
Is he dead?
I'm not. Is he? And then that's where you spread the rumors.
No, you don't. He's a nice guy.
Do you know that for sure? Because I heard he did some stuff.
Well, you'd come to think of it. Yeah, I think I've heard of a couple of bad things.
Yeah, see? And then boom.
Boom. No.
Suddenly, he can't be a Supreme Court justice.
Oh.
You made the joke, so I didn't have to.
You're welcome.
Somebody posted like a list of things. I think it was Jen Ikuda that posted the list of things of like what as like a kid in kindergarten, like
The resume, the resume,
yeah, the resume of things to do in that, like as a kid in kindergarten, is like likes drawings, likes horses,
finger paints,
does not rape.
Sure, yeah, well,
no rapes. I think it was what it was.
What man can say? okay. Anyway,
moving on.
Moving yeah. on. Fuck.
Yeah.
Seriously, though, it's not Alan Tudyk's fault that he's a scalper. Fucking.
He works for
not
Ticket
a scalper.
Master?
No, what's the other thing? Scab. He's a scab.
He's selling tickets on the side?
Yeah, maybe.
He's like, got your Moana tickets.
Yeah, get your Moana tickets here. $20.
You want some Firefly? I got some Firefly.
That is a flawless Alan Tudyk impression.
Perfect. That's
exactly what he sounds like.
That was Alan Tudyk on the podcast.
Yeah.
Right next to Swedish Muslim Jeremy.
Yeah. He hasn't shown up in a while.
No.
And since the last administration.
Really? Yeah. Well, you know. They got the travel ban. Yeah.
He got travel
they
ban.
Got the travel ban. He can't come to America anymore.
Oh, Lord Almighty.
Then I think in December sometime we're going to have a Who's the Boss. I'm not sure what's going on with that this year.
And then in January there's the ATC.
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 Have you guys made announcements about that yet? I didn't see... I got a warning that Travis is going to post everywhere last week.
And then we posted nowhere.
And it posted nowhere.
All right, it'll get posted soon.
Yep.
Yeah.
It'll get posted soon. I know people have started paying us already, so registration has already started despite registration not publicly being started yet.
No, really?
Yeah, I got some ATC or some PayPal alerts on my email. They're like, hey, such gave
we
you money.
We may not have published, but the website is live, and all the information on the website is right, including the registration info.
Yeah, we just didn't post links on Facebook yet or tweet it.
Yeah. Okay.
Like, if you go to atcwmh.com...
Net.
It's .org.
Oh.
You can technically register already. It's just we didn't tell you that. So only the secret cool kids figured it out. It's like an Easter egg.
It's going to be pretty rotten if you find it by now.
It's only been 6 months. It'll probably have started the pickle or something.
So I think I found out that I am allergic, or my body does not like the preservatives that are like a little chef company that works at our building. The blue plate people, they put like preservatives in their
blue plate.
It's the name of the catering company that has like a little shop in where I work.
Never heard of them.
But they put some kind of preservatives or something into the hard-boiled eggs, and I think they just make me sick. So I've had hard-boiled eggs all the time. I like them. I have them from there, and I get sick.
You should sous vide your eggs.
Sous what?
Mm-hmm.
What's that?
Oh, my Lord.
Felicity.
Sous vide?
Yes.
I can't afford a lawyer.
Sous vide.
I don't know what it is.
Oh, my God, Andy.
What's a sous vide?
You come to my house for steaks sometimes, and I will sous vide that steak for you.
What?
You ever watch Iron Chef?
Nope.
Oh, you son of a bitch.
I tried to watch it once, and it had no metal in it whatsoever.
Should I explain it to him like he's five?
Explain it as you would a child.
There was no Iron Maiden or anything like that in Iron Chef. I expected people to die, you know.
I mean, that's Iron Chef America.
Oh.
Yeah.
Ooh.
That's Iron Chef North Korea.
North Korea. You don't make the good meal, you're dead.
Yeah, also there's no food provided. So you just have to give the best propaganda that the food was good. It is an immersion circulator is what they were commonly known as, and that's why I asked if you saw Iron Chef, because they'd always be like, he's going to the immersion circulator.
But what the fuck is an immersion circulator?
So medium rare steak, perfect steak. Yeah. Is 125 in the center. 125 to 130. That's the temperature
just
you
want.
Bring
it up to that temperature. Okay.
So what a sous vide machine does is you get a bucket of water and you vacuum seal your steak, just suck all the air and put the herbs and some butter or whatever in the bag there, all the flavoring you want, some salt and pepper.
Okay.
And then you put it in the bucket of water and the immersion circulator brings that water to be exactly the temperature you tell it to. In this case, 125 degrees.
Okay.
And you let the water be there for like an hour, and so the temperature of the steak becomes the same as the surrounding temperature.
Then you just
so now that steak, you pull it out, you sear it. It's the perfect 125 you want with the crispy outer sear, because you just do like 2 minutes fast on each side.
That sounds amazing.
Flawless steak every time. You can do your eggs in it. You'll never overboil them because you pick what you want to be and they're done.
You can actually do really interesting things because whites and yolks solidify at different temps.
Correct. So if you put a lower temp, you can get almost like you can get that like a soft boil style or a poached style where you get the liquidy. Some people like it.
No, I only like
you
it
can
on toast.
Pickle with a sous vide.
Oh,
you can put like the cucumber slices or whatever you want in the thing, and then you sous vide it to like 140 for a couple hours and the heat. Because if you've ever tried making your own pickles at home, you'll find that they tend to be floppier and less crisp than store-bought stuff. And that's because you boiled it, and so all the connective tissue broke down.
Sure.
By sous-viding it, that connective tissue doesn't break down, and it stays crisp just like the store-bought stuff.
That's how they make the plastics.
Sous-vide everything.
Yeah, I was going to say,
everything.
You can also do some really weird things, like, for instance, everyone knows you need to cook chicken to 165. Yeah. Or you cook it for like 8 hours at 140 and it's still safe.
Yeah.
Hey, it tastes not like chicken at all.
Why isn't microwaves all been replaced by this?
Because it takes hours. That's the trade-off.
Well, that's fine.
Yeah, but I mean, it takes hours the way a crock pot takes hours. Correct. My steaks, I just put in there and then 2 hours later I come back and I'm ready to sear them and they're done. I didn't have to worry about the griddle.
Correct.
Right?
But like I said, that's the downside is it requires planning.
Yeah. And the downside also was that they were very expensive. Now you can get them for under $100.
Hmm.
And you do stuff like, hey, cookie dough is delicious, but technically, salmonella. Mm-hmm. Not if you sous vide your eggs first.
Yeah.
You can sous vide the eggs, keep them
for, what, 135 or something like that?
Yeah, you sous vide them to where they stay liquid eggs because you don't heat them hot enough, but you heat them hot enough that any salmonella on them is killed. And then, boom, you have perfectly safe, even though fucking, I mean.
Salmonella is on the outside of the shell
it's
anyway.
More you got safe. A one in a million, but yeah. If you want people to shut the fuck up, or if you're running a restaurant and want cookie dough without the health department really caring about that one in a million, like, the point is you can sous vide everything.
Hmm. Yeah, I don't like runny eggs.
Nice.
Or even wet eggs.
I don't like eggs.
It's weird with me. Like if I have a hard boiled egg and it's been sitting in the fridge for a while and it, you know, it's got that condensation on it, all that has to come off.
Yeah.
I have to have dry eggs.
Topically, Nick in chat says that my exact reply to him on Facebook when he said that you could CV your eggs is that, you know, why would I do that? Eggs are terrible. And so, full disclosure, eggs are terrible. I'm just, for people who are wrong and like eggs, you should sous vide them because it's the most appropriate way to make them.
Or I could just eat them at McDonald's.
If you scramble.
That's not eggs.
Yeah.
That is an egg product.
Are you sure?
Legally, yes.
Didn't they switch relatively recently? I think now
more of their stuff is becoming actual eggs.
I thought their eggs have always been eggs at McDonald's. They just do it in a shaper.
The scrambled egg is stretched. The actual egg McMuffins.
Yeah, that's what I'm.
That's
thinking.
An actual egg,
yeah. Right? But yeah,
they just cook it in some kind of like a.
They just cook it in like a biscuit ring.
Yeah.
A great story from when I went to school. Well, I don't know if my story is great, but the person telling it to me, it was a great story at the time, just to preface that, was he was in the military, and he was a cook, and he had a friend who was the chef. And when you're baking shit, you can't use cartoned egg product. You need actual eggs because it's science, not, you know, there's chemical reactions.
Correct. You need the protein.
And right. So he, as the chef, would get egg shells from the baker so that when he made the egg product scrambled eggs, he would just crush up some egg shells and stir them into there so that people would think it was real eggs. Because people would rather have real eggs that somebody fucked up and put the shells in than fake eggs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was the thing. Same thing with military stuff, too.
Yeah. It was military. So, you saw the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah. The folks at the Blue Plate don't make those eggs correctly. So they have like a giant bin that they just make up the egg product and they mix it together, but their ratio is off and they have too much water left over. And so it's soggy eggs. And
scrambled eggs are surprisingly hard to make well at scale.
Yeah, yeah. Well, because you have to control the temperature where they still are, you know, they have a little bit of they're not dry, right?
They're
they have
hard,
a little bit of juice
it's very
to
hard
them
to
still.
Cook a whole pan evenly.
Yes.
And then store it for any length of time.
Yeah. No. I just, yeah, my scrambled eggs never look like anything that I've ever seen for like a restaurant or anything like that. Mine are all just, you know, just weird, but they taste good. I like it.
Meh. I mean, eggs are edible. They're just, I'm not an egg guy. Mm. Every once in a while, like at Easter, I'll eat a hard boiled egg and be like, eh. And then I don't bother eating an egg again for a year.
Mm.
I mean, you could just snort some paprika and get the same basic effect.
Deviled eggs are okay.
That is a dangerous thing, is when having hard boiled deviled eggs. I will eat all of them.
You can do that with your sous vide.
No, I still don't know what it is. I can't afford a lawyer.
Oh, it's so good.
It seems really cool. I've never seen that method, so I'm curious
Curious up until maybe about 10 years ago, it was just like a super high-end restaurant thing because immersion circulator would be like a $3,000 investment.
And it would be a whole size of the thing, table, right? Because it would be a built-in reservoir and it was all there. Now this thing is literally just like
my machine is about the size of is smaller than the stack of boxes.
My machine is about the size of my forearm with a clip on the side. Because it is just, it's like a curling iron where you just click it on the side of a pan and then the metal sticks into there and that's what heats the water. And also has a little fan that circulates the water, hence emergent circulator.
Can you just get a curling iron and then like a...
Well, actually, so you can sous vide just in the bathtub with a toaster.
Okay.
I say, there are certain things you can get away with just using a foam cooler and like heating water close enough and putting in there. Like if you don't care about perfect steaks, you can do that. And eggs, I think you can get away with it. Some of the other sous vide recipes, you need more precise control, but there are certain things you can do with just a foam cooler and heating water up to a certain temperature.
Right.
Yeah. A foam cooler, as in like the coolers that you get, they're like $4.95.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yep.
You could actually, okay.
Yeah. We're only talking like 125, like we're talking...
Just hot water.
Yeah. The water when you shower is, like, the biggest issue I had when I first got it, the first time I went to make it, I used the hot water from my tap to fill the bucket, hotter than the temperature needed to be.
And then you have to throw some ice in.
You shower at hotter than the water is necessary, almost.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, except for you're just cooking it at an extended length of time at that lower temperature. Okay.
Right. Also, salmon or tuna at 112.
Yeah. Yeah, if you're a salmon person, that is, yes. Yeah. Anything. If you enjoy eating, get a sous vide.
I wonder how it was cooked, but the copper run salmon that I had in Seattle, like, 3-4 years ago, that was like a $50 plate thing.
Possible at that point.
When Michael Plummer had told me that it was only going to be like $30 a plate.
Sure.
Damn you, Michael Plummer.
There is a recipe for an old fashioned in my sous vide cooker's instruction manual. Because you can sous vide the ingredients to get the flavors to come out and meld more.
Did the old fashioned beat the record? I know they're having it this weekend.
I don't know.
For the amount of the most amount of old fashioned served, because they had like over 2K.
I'll go help.
Yeah, I don't know if it's still going on, but I thought it was this weekend.
Can I retroactively help?
No, I just go get an old fashioned from them.
I'll go make some at home.
Yeah.
Does that count?
We can go get an old fashioned over at Mr. Brew's. Wait 5 fucking hours.
After the game yesterday, we went to Mr. Brew's because Chris wanted to get a chicken sandwich and Brian wanted to get shoestring potatoes. And I'm like, I'm not going to get anything because I'm going to go out to dinner with my wife after this. And so I hung out for like 45 minutes until they got their food. And then I left.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then Brian didn't get what he wanted.
So what you're telling me is yesterday's theme was waiting.
Yes.
Yesterday's theme was a lot of waiting.
Well, Brian specifically asked for shoestring potatoes because that's why he went there. Shoestring potatoes.
Which I'm assuming is saying that they...
Fries. Yes. Yep. And then Andy got fries and the guy's like, do you want regular shoestring? And he said, same as what he got. And so the guy brought them both regular and Brian's like, these aren't shoestrings. And he said, well, that guy got regular and you said same as he got. And I'm like, no, it's the other way around.
Yeah. Yeah. Their shoestrings are really good there with the Parmesan garlic powder on there. It's really good, but those were not the fries we got. We sat there waiting for him to bring over the check. I finally had to wave him down. Brian was about to throw the shitty fries across the room.
I'd imagine.
To get his attention.
When he set down the stuff in front of you guys, you were like, are these Parmesan garlic? And instead of saying, yep, he was just like, well, did you taste them? Try tasting them.
Oh,
tell
nice.
Me what they sound, what they taste like. And it's like, dude, fucker, you don't work at that place where people go to get insulted by the waiters and waitresses.
Yeah. He
just say yes.
He came. We got drinks fairly quickly. I thought drinks were still
He ignored longer. Us when we sat down for 15 minutes.
Yes.
When he finally admitted that we existed, the drinks came swiftly afterwards.
Yep. Drinks came swiftly afterwards, and then he ignored us again for a long time, and then came back and said, hey, I'll get your food order right after I cook these other people's food. I'm like, oh, okay. So we waited for them to get their food finally. Then it took them forever to come to us. We were there for, I think, at least a good hour and a half.
That sounds awful.
Yeah, it was. And it was not a packed place. And about halfway through the time there, he actually had help. He had somebody who was actually cooking there. But that didn't change anything for how long everything fucking took. I left probably... I shouldn't have left a tip, but it's, you know, it's one of those social things.
Well, it's the catch 22.
Yeah, that. So, but I left a very shitty tip, though. Not anything bad about it. Yeah. You were looking up something?
No. Oh. Kind of.
You were ignoring me.
I was letting you tell your story to Dan.
Oh. Okay.
All right, should we start on the Zapty Grumble backlog?
Yeah, we have a couple of them there.
There's some in chat. There's some on the book faces. Yep. Someone also, it's not Zappity Grumble, but at the bottom they asked, why are eggs terrible? I don't know why. Why does dirt taste bad? It's just how nature is.
The first Zappity was, what is your favorite terrible casting choice and why?
Favorite terrible.
I'm going to go with Samuel L. Jackson in The Spirit, just because I laughed, like, laughed every time he was on screen and then was depressed the rest of that movie.
Yeah, he definitely,
it was the one redeeming part of that movie.
Yeah, that movie was very not good.
mine was casting Rob Schneider as a Mexican in the Ridiculous Six.
Oh man,
because that brought us a diarrhea spewing burrow.
Remember, it's like a fire hose of poop. It's funny.
That honestly was actually no. The fire hose of poop was funny. That was about the only funny part of the film.
I'm seeing a pattern here.
And Rob Schneider actually was decent in that film. You should watch that on our movie Pain Train. It's probably one of my favorite movie Pain Trains we have ever done because I fucked it up. I forgot to record. Because we do the intro right before we go see the film. Then we usually show the trailer, which we can't do anymore because fucking YouTube hits up the copyright strikes. And then we show the reaction to that. And we were about 5-6 minutes into the reaction before I finally realized that I wasn't recording the reaction. But we were recording the audio for it. So I just ended up replacing all of the video of it with puppets.
That works.
So it was Om Nom, Catbug, and Totoro. We're giving the review for the Ridiculous Six.
That's about what that movie needs. Oh, man. The best casting. This isn't miscasting. It's inexplicable casting. But the best part of Ridiculous Six was Vanilla Ice.
Oh, yes.
As Samuel Clemens. Fucking Ice Baby was Mark Twain in that movie.
He was fucking good in that.
He was shockingly good.
There's two bad castings from the same film.
Oh, but man, that one was genius casting.
All right, Nathan.
Oh man, I can't. So what's his face? You know, the British guy who's awesome. Tim Curry. Tim Curry, last I checked. Nope, wait, rewinding. I was about to mention him because he's not Russian in the Command and Conquer series, because holy shit, when he goes to space is the greatest line delivery ever. But no, fucking John Malkovich as KGB in Rounders. It is the worst Russian accent you will ever hear in your life, and it is beautiful. It is goddamn beautiful. I don't know who's like, hey, let's have Malkovich be a Russian guy.
Is it better than Sean Connery's Russian accent in Hunt for October?
Yes. Because Sean Connery at least just talks like Sean Connery. You know, it's like Dances with Wolf guys' English accent in Robin Hood, right? He just doesn't bother. Malkovich tries his darndest to do a Russian accent, and it is adorably terrible. I don't know how they didn't recast him or like stop the movie for a year while they forced him to take classes, because it is...
Or dub him.
Dude, when we're done here, I will play a clip from that movie so you can hear his Russian accent. It is astoundingly beautiful. What is great about it is that you can quote the movie and just do a terrible gibberish accent and no one can call you on it because it's better than his.
Yeah, I have not seen Rounders in a very long time. Probably like the first time it was not in theaters would be... Wow.
That ace could not have helped you. He splashes the pot. so good.
I have not seen that.
Oh my god. You need to. It's a great movie. It's a legitimately great movie. But Malkovich's Russian accent is the most gloriously bad part of it.
Dan, do you have one?
Yeah, he went first.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Oh. Wow. Wow.
I see where I write.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
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 Wow. The clip of Star Wars lightsaber duels, but the lightsaber sound effects are all replaced by him saying wow is the internet at its finest. Ugh. Have you not seen that? It's like, wow.
That's why I went,
Deputy.
Grumble.
Pay this man his miani. That is spelled correctly, Nick. Well done.
All right, so Sean asks, if you had to start War Machine Hordes all over again, but you know everything about the game that you know now, what faction would you pick and why?
Like, are the factions out? Is it like if...
I think it's basically if you are just joining into War Machine
Hordes. So we're not going back in time. You're just saying a new player right now?
If you had to start it all over again.
So your house burns down because you invited the Maris.
Okay.
And you have to start over.
Sure.
What do you buy?
Board games.
I think I honestly probably stick with Kator. That was my first foray into the world, and I still like Kator even after all these years.
This is a weird question, because like none of us are like, I could easily play any faction I want to. Like, I play the factions I currently play because I do know everything that I do now, and with everything that I know now, I have chosen those factions.
Yeah, I would still have the same four factions. I just wouldn't have bought the other seven that I've since sold.
Right. So, yeah.
I mean, if we were to... I don't know if...
There's a pop-up!
That's not good.
Your computer has a pop-up, and there's a little green bar filling.
So that little green bar is 14 minutes. So we have 14 minutes to finish the podcast before my recording computer decides it's going to restart.
Okay.
All right.
That's zappity.
Grumble.
So I think what he was trying to say is that, if you had to reinvent the War Machine Hordes universe, I don't know. If I had full control of it, I would not have a new faction every fucking year.
I don't know. A new faction every year is better than just continually bloating out the original eight factions until they become unsustainable.
That's true. I would say if you're doing that, maybe you would start earlier with the new factions, because all the classic factions are pretty bloated.
Yes. They're to the point where they need to stop releasing things for them.
Yeah. Maybe a new caster here and there, but that's really about it.
Yeah.
Zappity, how much more do you have to put up with before Mike McCarthy is fired?
Too much. How he is the worst coach in sports history. Mike McCarthy is garbage. He is utter shit. The fact that Aaron Rodgers and Brett Favre only have one ring each is because he held them back. It is fucking embarrassing how bad of a coach he is. He is so shit. I honestly think that he should just challenge the first two plays no matter what they are, so that he can't fuck up challenging for the rest of the game. And then immediately call three timeouts so he can't fuck up timeouts for the rest of the game.
Did you watch today's game a little bit at all?
No.
Okay.
Let me guess. Did he fuck up challenges and timeouts? Because that's all he does. No, he fucked up
timeouts, though. Yeah. So
he just time, challenge, challenge. He should challenge his own calling of a timeout.
Hit the fucking stupid thing. So they have... The Packers are losing.
Surprise.
Yeah, Packers are losing at halftime, or close to halftime. There is at least a minute 30 left on the clock. He just lets that... The Packers have three timeouts. And the and Washington has the ball.
Yeah.
And they're just like, yeah, we're not going to call timeout.
Yeah, no.
So they end up getting the ball back with 21 fucking seconds left to go and try to score.
Yeah.
And so obviously that doesn't work.
Also, when the Packers are winning, he doesn't play to win. He plays not to lose.
Correct.
So he goes real soft and slows down. It's like, fucker, drive in. So, drive. Win by 30. Don't lose by 2.
Washington did the same fucking thing in the second half. So Washington is ahead, all except for the Packers just committed just fucking penalties all the way down the field to just let them. And like Packer, the defense was actually stopping them, and then just penalties to give them, to keep them alive in the drives.
I mean,
it sucked.
In fairness, roughing the passer is now, looking at them.
Oh, it's so stupid. So somebody had mentioned, I think in a chat or someplace, that you should just put two fucking flags on the quarterback, and then just, we'll play flag football with only the quarterback that needs to be touched, because. There was a roughing the passer penalty. I mean, like, you're looking at.
They're trying to save their brand, but they're doing it in the most asinine way possible.
Yeah, you're looking at. I can't think of the guy's name because I'm trying to form the point. Clay Matthews. You're looking at Clay Matthews. His first hit that he did on the Bears quarterback in first game, that was roughing the passer. In the second game, the one that they're all planning on using as evidence and showing it to all the teams what roughing the passer is,
didn't he incidentally contact afterwards? So therefore, it was technically roughing the passer or something.
He basically, it looked like he picked him up and drove him to the ground. When you can see the quarterback actually kind of partially leaping mm-hmm. as well.
Yeah, like I said, from what I understand, it was a legit hit that he landed on him accidentally and therefore yeah. hit the definition of roughing the passer.
Correct.
Zappity.
Zappity. Is Monpack worth to jump into Monpack on release or wait until all the things are fleshed out more? I think Monpack is awesome. It's technically not, or just got released last week. Oh, no, it's not until...
Due to custom issues, it got pushed back 2 weeks.
Okay. When the faction you like comes out, get into it.
Yes.
Right? Like, I mean, I'm waiting on Martians because I want the Martians. And then I could say ack, ack, ack while playing the game. So I'm not going to get into it till December.
But come in peace.
For dark is the suede that mows like a harvest.
Zabity.
Grumble.
I think we all like the game, though. Or at least we like the original version of it. And it's pretty much the same now.
My biggest concern with getting into it is I just don't know if I have a second night a week for gaming.
Yeah,
it's either going to invade onto War Machine night or
which if we just make that privateer press night.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I was thinking to have it on Tuesdays.
But I mean, if we do it both on Wednesdays, there will be nights I will come down and just say I'm just feeling a Monpok game or two.
Yeah,
and I'd be okay with that. I just don't know if I have a second night of the week I can give up for gaming.
Right.
Sure. With enough regularity to help build a community.
Yeah. Zabity.
Grumble.
Opinions on bicyclists who on road not following traffic laws.
I hate bicycle. I hate that. I hate it. I hate it. The only thing I hate more is bike riders on the sidewalk.
If I have to choose of the two, I would much rather have them be as pedestrians than as a vehicle. I would much rather have them be on the sidewalk. Thing is, though. Much like as a vehicle, they don't obey the laws there. So they're on the sidewalk, and then they just drive right across the street.
So in Madison particularly, they have no fucking excuse because we have bike lanes everywhere.
Yes,
but
correct.
You are a car. When I rode a bike to work, I rode in a normal lane. You stop at the stoplight. Yep. You are a fucking car for correct. Literally all the laws.
That's correct. How it should be.
You yes. don't decide that you're then a pedestrian.
Yeah, correct. Like, oh, there's a stop sign. I'll just go up on the, and then I'll just drive
I'll
across
hop the curb.
Yeah.
And then
Now I'm a pedestrian crossing because you have to stop. And now I'm a car again because it's convenient.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Those fuckers can go die in a fire.
But flip side, if you're in a car and there's a bike in the car lane biking along at 10 miles an hour, you don't give them shit about that.
Correct.
Pass them like you'd pass any other car when you have a legal chance to, but they're doing what they're supposed to do.
Yes.
But if you're riding a bike, you should obey every fucking law.
Yeah. No coasting through stop signs. No, I mean, yeah, that's one of the biggest things I end up seeing is usually just the I'm riding on the road. Suddenly now I'm a pedestrian. Now mm-hmm. I'm back on the road.
Right.
Like, no, fuck. Honestly,
the other thing is all the problems you have with cars hitting people on bikes, you get the same problem in reverse if they're on the sidewalk.
Yep.
Right.
It's the same mass and speed ratio issues.
You're walking and some asshole on a bike's just tearing towards you. It's like, fucker, get on the road. I'm walking here.
Yep.
Exactly.
Zabby. I think that was it. I didn't check Twitter. So we've got 7 minutes.
All right. My recommendation,
there's a postpone button.
Yeah, I figured there'd be a postpone button.
There we go. I pressed the postpone button.
Do, 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 do. Like I was looking. I almost got up and walked over there to check, but I figured.
I knew, but it's a great timer for the podcast.
Yeah, I say it made the lightning round. Like,
Yeah.
Actually, lightning.
Yeah.
All right. Was there no other stuff up in the chat, though?
We're at the bottom of the chat.
Well, he didn't scroll
there,
all the way to
the
top.
There was only one for the chat.
Yeah, that was okay. That was the casting thing.
So talking about the point-and-click adventure games, and specifically ones that were on the DS, it reminded me of the Nonary series of games, which started with let me get the titles here right, because I just think of a 999. 9 hours, 9 persons, 9 doors. And then the sequel was Zero Escape, Virtue's Last Reward. And then the third one was Zero Time Dilemma. They are point-and-click adventure games. The basic premise is that there would be like 9 people trapped in a place. Like one of them's an elevator, another one's like a cruise ship, whatever. And it's basically Saw.
Okay.
And so you, through the point-and-click adventure, have to try to survive, you know, figure out a puzzle before neck-kick bombs explode and all this shit. They're really cool. They're definitely horror games slash puzzle games slash adventure games. The first two were released for the PS4 and not the Xbox. PS4 and PC as the Nonary Games Collection or whatever. So it has 2 of the 3. And you can get that for like $25 now on PlayStation on Steam. But they're a lot of fun because we were talking about adventure games, so I would recommend picking those up. Because it's kind of rare to have like R-rated adventure point-and-click games.
That's not on Steam. That's also not porn related.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, not
was just like,
it's just right. point, click, 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 click,
and done.
Although the Leisure Suit Larry games are amazing.
Correct.
The original ones, not the Xbox one where it was like Larry's Kid, the Box Office Bust, I think it was called, but the first 7
when they
wink,
were well,
there's only 6 of them. Yeah. Like Leisure Suit Larry 7 Love for Sale is a fun game. And the original was fine. And I love that the way they made sure that you were old enough to play the game was with trivia questions that only old people would know the answers to.
Ah, yes, the good old days of DRM.
Right. When there was no Google, right? So they had the DRM.
I love the DRM back then. It was like, if you lost that owner's manual,
you were fucked.
You were
fucked. Yeah, you had no spinner. Yeah.
No spinner, or like, tell me what the first letter on page 54 is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, ah.
The Darklands, which was a great RPG that was in medieval or Dark Ages Germany, their DRM you can get around if you were just super knowledgeable, because the DRM would be, what is the alchemical symbol for mercury or sulfur or something? And they had an alchemy chart in the rule book because that mattered for the game. But what random fucking player would know off the top of their head what the alchemy symbol for sulfur was?
A surprisingly large amount of their market base.
Yeah, it was a very nerdy market base. That game's amazing. But yeah, no, the Leisure Suit Larry 1, it was like, what were the names of the reporters who brought down Richard Nixon?
Oh,
like, what 10-year-old kid would know that, right?
Yeah. In the days of not Google.
Yeah, well. Exactly. It was amazing.
Yeah, wow. I don't even know that. I just know the contact name was Deep Throat.
Yeah, yeah.
That's basically the only thing I know. So my recommendation is a hobby-related one. It is an amazing YouTube channel called Bare Metal HW. And what this guy does, he does remodeling and touch-ups for Hot Wheels and Matchbox cars.
Is he the one who did all the Mad Max stuff a few years ago?
He's... well, like about a year ago. Yeah, okay. He's had his own custom Mad Max stuff on there. It's they're only, honestly, each single video is only about maybe 5 to 7 minutes. But it taps that vein of like, I used to like the custom choppers stuff. I liked American Chopper. I liked those custom things.
So you get that without the drama.
I get that without the drama. And the guy basically, he ends up has, you can tell he's got a pattern. It's what he says and every single one, but it's just fun to watch. It's just really cool the amount of detail and work that he puts in to fix these cars, and makes me want to do shit to paint to see what I can do with using those methods on War Machine or whatever hobby I choose. But Bare Metal HW is really, really cool to see the shitty looking Hot Wheels that, or Matchbox that he gets, and just sees what he does at the end of it. It's awesome.
I got nothing. I spent most of the last 3 days smoking meat, so.
Then, speaking of smoking, I'm going to do another recommendation because we have time, because you found the delay button, and this was going to be my recommendation before we talked about action games. And that is
Fuck That's Delicious, which is, I know it's on Hulu.
Is that a comma or a describer?
Fuck, comma, That's Delicious.
Okay.
It is a travel and eat show like they have, you know, like...
Guy Fieri?
Sure, it's that style of thing. It's a travel and eat show. It's more like No Reservations with Anthony Bourdain.
Yeah. So more dive into the place,
right? Like and go, you know, go to like Vietnam and stuff that. But instead of Anthony Bourdain, who you have is Action Bronson, who is a rapper that looks like imagine if Andy was a hardcore rapper, and he and his other like big rapper friends just go and they're just smoking joints and talking about how great this like steak tartare is.
Sure,
and so the it's really cool to see like total street level ghetto blue collar people appreciating fine wine and brie cheese and then going fuck that's delicious and then smoking a joint. And so it's just entertaining. The first episode or two they're finding their feet and they're a little iffy, but you know, marathon it while painting or whatever. If you like the style of watching somebody go eat food and talk about how good it is, and I just love that they just called it fuck that's delicious because that's all you need to hear.
There's a Netflix show like sort of like that. Let me find it.
Ugly Delicious, or that's one on Netflix too. But that's more actual like high class.
No, one second.
Can you? I maybe you might just stab me though. But can you imagine if the showrunners and that they picked up Guy to fill in for Anthony Bourdain, and then sent him around the world? I think that show would actually be kind of awesome.
I mean,
okay, no, it's similar to this.
Is this guy filling in for Anthony Bourdain not awesome enough, Andy?
Oh, he is? Oh, that, yeah.
That's Action Bronson.
Okay, I've seen him before then in some other things. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah, so the one I was thinking of is a Netflix show called Liquid Science. It's GZA from Wu-Tang Clan explaining stuff like global warming or virtual reality.
He travels with his friends, you know, like two or three people with him at a time. That's the whole crew. That's the cast of this high class show.
I've seen an episode of something that was on YouTube or it was on a different channel.
Yeah.
That's cool.
But no, yeah, it's good. I like the watching a dude eat shit shows. Like they're in general they're good. You know, the Diners, Drive-Ins and Dungeons and Dragons and whatnot.
Yeah. I know a lot of people like to give Guy Fieri a lot of shit, but I like
fuck
the guy.
You.
What?
I am not going to have Aikman comment my life.
What color commentator would you like rating your life, Buck and Aikman or Collinsworth?
I'll end it. Fuck that.
Well, think as though as you die, they're going to commentate how you just died.
Oh God.
So I mean,
it has to be one of those two.
Those three.
I fucking hate Chris Collinsworth so much.
Collinsworth is just whatever tit is open, he's gonna suck at it.
And
whatever tit. I mean, he
watch. Oh yeah,
he's knowledgeable. I will give him that. He knows the product there. But one second he'll be talking about how shitty Aaron Rodgers is as a quarterback, and then he will suck off that tit immediately afterwards.
Yep. It doesn't matter. There is no context. If you throw an interception, you'll be like, I've always said he's the worst quarterback ever. He should just be flayed alive. And then you throw a touchdown. It's like, been behind him since the day one. He's the best quarterback. It's like, fuck you, Collinsworth. Like,
And Aikman and Buck are just, they are the worst. It's so sad because they're usually, Aikman and Buck are the top commentators for Fox's Sunday afternoon game. And sadly, the Packers are usually the top one for that set.
I swear Aikman like wants that job. Like he's like, I want to have every Packer game just because I'll say
at least with I don't mind Aikman as bad. So if I had to choose out of those three, I would choose Aikman to commentate my life. Cause even though he is a cowboy and he has favoritism, he does call it down the middle. I feel he's the best out of the three. Just Buck is a piece of shit.
Just anything. If my choices are Collinsworth or just the unending shriek of the damned, I will take the unending shriek of the damned. Like anything except Collinsworth. I fucking hate that guy.
Yeah.
God, I hate him.
Yeah. Aikman is at least halfway decent. Buck is just a fucking moron.
I mean, if I get to pick anybody, I mean, there's so many good commentators out there like Euchre or JR and the King.
Euchre's good. I've been having issues recently.
Yeah. He's getting old.
My friend Chris was telling me about the guy who's running shit Euchre says.
Yeah.
And they got cease and desist from... They originally got a cease and desist to... And all they were doing is just transcribing whatever Euchre had said during whatever game it was. And they were just putting in a Twitter form. So... It was amazing because it was completely out of context.
Sure. Which Euchre out of context. Yowza.
So they originally contacted him to take off the shit. And so they just changed it to stuff, Euchre says. And then they must have posted something that he or his PR team said, no, just kill it.
Yeah, legally speaking, they can post quotes.
Yeah,
like as long as they don't claim to be Euchre, there's nothing wrong with what they're doing.
Correct.
They definitely win that fight.
Yeah. Correct, if they're willing to put in the effort.
Man, it can't take any effort.
Yeah.
Like, that's one of those kinds of fights where you can represent yourself and just not bother, and you'll just win by default.
Correct, but it's still time and effort.
Yeah.
Sure.
That is something that I always thought was kind of weird, so... and I talked about Chris with Chris earlier. It's Harry Caray...
Drunken idiot.
He was revered as, you know, the announcer. I mean, he's...
Right.
He is the announcer. Bob Euchre, on the other hand, unfortunately, I don't think he has even remotely the notoriety that Harry Caray has.
No, I mean, but he was on Belvedere.
But
he's Mr. Baseball. He's Mr. not Baseball. In the Broadcaster Hall of Fame either. Yeah,
Euchre isn't in?
At least he wasn't. 2 years ago, which is the last time I checked. So wow. If they put him in the last 2 years, but that's really frustrating that he's not in the Broadcaster Hall of Fame because he's amazing.
But I mean,
and
he deserves. I feel he deserves the notoriety that people gave like Harry Caray. But
yeah.
The other thing though too is I don't think Euchre likes the game as much as Harry Caray did.
Well, he's not a drunken asswipe, so he's not hanging out the window. Like, and that's the thing is, and he doesn't have Will Ferrell doing an impression of him on Saturday Night Live.
That's true, too.
Yeah, it's like Harry Caray was a fucking joke, and I can say that as somebody who was living in Chicago at the time. Like, yeah, he was revered, ironically. Like,
well, I figure he had basically the perfect job. He got to go and watch baseball all the time, get drunk, and then just
keep his job. Yeah.
And get paid for it.
Also, Andy, it's back.
Yeah, it's back, but that's okay.
He's back.
ESPN had a competition like 20 years ago or something, and I just remember because third prize was like some cash or something. There's some random whatever the fuck. Second prize was a Harley Davidson motorcycle.
All right.
Grand prize was dinner with Euchre.
Oh. That's not a grand prize.
That's fucking amazing, man.
I would
hanging out with Bob Euchre?
Yeah, but what if Euchre doesn't like you, though?
Come on. It's Bob Euchre. He likes everybody. Also, if Bob Euchre doesn't like you, that's judgment on you. That's not the prize's fault.
It's not the prize's fault.
Yeah, it's like if my dog doesn't like you, I'm not blaming the dog. There's something wrong with you. I'm sorry. There's something wrong with you.
Fuck your dog.
You're just very growlable. You're easy to growl at. She knows about the Pina Colada song.
All right, I'll accept that.
She's protecting me from mixtapes.
I showed that to my coworkers at work, and they were surprised I put that much effort into
it.
I'm like, there was no effort, just pain.
Chat says playing for second, and that's the thing about it is that hilariously, as long as there's only one of each prize, it's irrelevant what order you rank them in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. That's true.
But what if I want to play for Thirth?
Thirth? Threeth. Fucking Thirth. I wish, man, what a great trophy, Thirth.
Oh, man. It's making me want to rename every single thing I've had.
Is Travis still in chat? He was in chat earlier. Can we talk about Thirth Place again?
I can look.
Yeah.
Oh, he's there.
Dang it. Yeah. I'm sure glad that we're definitely not going to have Thirth Place plaques. Actually, I'm too lazy to get Thirth Place plaques because the way I get the plaques for the ATC is I just call up the plaque people and say, hey, change the year, and then they mail me new ones.
And unfortunately, that would explaining that joke would take a while.
Yeah. yeah. When I got married the first time, we got souvenir t-shirts for like the wedding party, and we had like best wedding ever, and we had ever with EVAR and like 6 exclamation points, and one of the exclamation points was the number 1.
Yeah.
And the t-shirt people were very confused, and they very insistent about making sure that we wanted those things like they were. Like, trust us, it's the internet, old man.
Well, you see like clickbait all the time of the bakers who take whatever somebody says literally when they put the
it's a running gag in BoJack Horseman.
Well, I haven't watched the most current season.
Even the first season. Mr. Peanut Butter, anytime he hits like a banner made, or when he runs for governor and he has the signs and like gets t-shirts, they always have something like that.
Oh.
You know, like, welcome home, Diane, and underneath that, we missed you. And like, literally just say that. And then one of them, I have to read this one exactly because it was the season one pinnacle of that running gag.
BoJack Horseman is a series that's on Netflix, and you should watch it.
Nathan has recommended every season.
Yeah.
I had a ball at Diane's 35th birthday, and underline ball, I don't know why this is so hard. And that's what the t-shirt says.
And making a reference to all the
all of the previous times that they had done something wrong. Yeah, I actually haven't watched the most recent season either because I'm going to go down to Illinois to visit some friends this weekend. And one of the things we're going to do is marathon it together to help make sure that we can suicide watch each other for episode 11.
Because it's a 12-episode season?
Yeah, and episode 11 of every season of BoJack Horseman is the most brutal thing of television history.
Yeah. Yep, it's very good. All right, so I think that's it. Do we have anything else? Announcements or nothing?
No.
Nope.
I got a car. It's a stick shift. That's awesome.
Oh, you got a new car?
Yeah. I'm in an old car, but new to me. It's only a 2015, so.
Well, it's guaranteed nobody's going to steal it.
What?
If you have a stick shift, people are not going to steal your car. Yeah.
Someone tried to steal my brother's stick shift car, and it got as far as halfway out of the parking space and gave up.
Yeah. Yeah. If you don't want somebody stealing your car, get a stick shift.
When we took it for the test drive, the salesman was like, "Yeah, so normally I drive it up to the gate, and then I have to wave my pass out the window to open the gate. But I can't drive stick, so I had to drive it to the gate, and then he had to get out of the car and run around and wave his pass in front of the thing, and then run back and get in the car."
Yikes.
And then we're buying. He's like, "All right, I'll go bring your car around." I'm like, "Can you?" He's like, "What do you think?" No, I mean literally. Can you bring it around? He's like, no, I can't. I'll get someone else to do it.
Before I got my Ford Focus, I went out to a place to look for a car, and I was looking for a stick, and I haven't driven one for like 10 years, so I was just
rough,
nervous as hell with the guy just sitting there. I'm like, going into first, and I'm like,
My brother Adam got pulled over once when he was in high school or college, and his license was expired.
Mm-hmm.
And so the cop's like, "All right, well, the other guy," because he had his friend with him, he's like, "The other guy's going to have to drive out of here. You can't drive because, you know, I'm going to get in my car, and if I watch you drive away, I'm just going to pull you again because you're driving without a license, so switch." And his buddy did not know how to drive stick. So he's just herking and jerking to get the hell out of there.
Yeah, I think I mentioned on the podcast too. My very first car was a stick.
I learned on stick, yeah.
And I blew out the clutch, which is not a fun thing to do. But also, I blew out the clutch at the largest army base in the world during lunchtime, and I was first in line in the light on the exit to leave the army base.
Great job, Detroit.
That sounds like some amazing Texas dialogue.
Yeah. I was called a lot of things. Yeah. There was a lot of smoke because my clutch, and that's the worst smell in the world is that burning clutch. Yeah. It's just, oh.
I'm real good at teaching sticks, so you know anybody who needs to learn.
And how to drive?
Yeah. Because my penis.
All right. Thank you.
Where's Warrior?